Attention musicians, do you want to hear your music on vinyl but just can't afford the 100 minimum that most vinyl cutting houses require? Well, you might want to do a short run, maybe 1 to 50. And Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on the How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get to their page, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. That's right. Promo code HDIGH gets you 10% off. That's Austin Signal, gang. Go get some vinyl. Let's get down. Attention, Austin guitarist. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Jason over at J. Scott Luthery. Find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook. I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years, and not only does he do the best work, but he's also got the best prices and the fastest service in town. You can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook or jason.swedberg@gmail.com. Whether it's electric or acoustic, Jason at J. Scott Luthery is your guy. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Guess what? My Rhodes is back and it's in shape and it's going. That's me playing it there in the background. I was really excited about having it back. Yeah, I hope you guys have all had a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. I am Johnny. I'm the host of the show. Welcome. Welcome to the show. I had a good weekend. I played in, I'm actually doing this on Sunday. So I've had a good weekend so far. I played with Skyrocket on Friday. That was great. We played in San Antonio at Sam's. The people came out. They had a good time. They were an enthusiastic crowd. And I had a really good time playing the show. I think the band was good. We were real loud. Sometimes we get loud. Tough. We get tough and loud. Skyrocket. That's how we do it. Then Saturday, I woke up in the morning and I was like, shit, man, I'm going to go see Joker. So I went like Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to go see the Joker movie. Man, it's great. No spoilers here, but go see it, man. It's really good. It's a dark movie. It's intense. And then, you know, there's a lot of comparisons to The King of Comedy, so I came home and watched that again. And, you know, that guy got some stuff from King of Comedy, but, you know, shit, man. It's a great movie. Joker's a great movie. It's intense. Very heavy, very dark, very moving. There were some times where I felt very choked up because of the situations that he was in. So there I was, almost crying for the Joker. What's going on with me? I don't know. Maybe I'm getting soft in my old age. Maybe I'm feeling things a bit too much. I'm feeling good, though. Yeah. Anyway, and then I watched the Astros, and I fell asleep watching the Astros at like 8:30 on Saturday night. It's a good thing I didn't watch the whole thing, because it was a terrible ending. They lost like 7-0 on Saturday, so hopefully Sunday they'll do better tonight. The night I'm doing this, and maybe they'll be staying in the game for a while. Gang, I have a great show for you today. William Glossop, Marcus Haddon, and Jack Thornton from the band Shivery Shakes are my guests on the show today. They have a brand new album called Weird Weather. It's absolutely fantastic. I love this album. These guys were on the show before, and I've actually known William for a long time. When I used to play at this place, Momo's, like 10, 11 years ago, he was in high school, and his band used to open for my band, and I loved his band. They were called The Bubbles. They were such a cool band. He was a great songwriter, and Shivery Shakes is a great band. And last time they were on, they were promoting their record, Three Waves and a Shake, which is another amazing record. Fantastic. It's like 60s garage pop. Well, on Weird Weather, their newest album, which just came out September 20th, they've gotten a tougher sound. You can tell they've been on the road a bit. They've been out there slugging it out, trying to play over people, trying to reach the back of the room with their sound. So they're digging in a little deeper on Weird Weather, which I love too. You can find them at shiveryshakes.band. And in fact, gang, they are currently on tour. Tonight they'll be playing in the city of Detroit. As I said, go to shiveryshakes.band because they'll be on tour until October 27th doing the Midwest, East Coast, and the Southeast. Go to shiveryshakes.band. Get involved there. You can stream Weird Weather wherever it is you stream and download the jams. It's gorgeous. Get it. It's fantastic. And enjoy my conversation with William Marcus and Jack from the band Shivery Shakes. Let's get down. So you guys playing tonight?
Yeah.
Where?
Sahara Lounge.
Okay, that's the kicking off the tour.
Yeah.
And then you're going to play from now till the 27th every single day.
Almost.
Almost? Oh.
Couple days off.
Okay, okay.
Not much, though.
Why did I write down every night? Every day and night. But where are you going? You're going to the East Coast and the Southeast. What cities are you hitting?
Yeah, going up the Midwest and then down the East Coast. So we'll do like Dallas, Tulsa, Wichita, a halt to Chicago, then Detroit, Akron, Philly, New York, then back down.
Damn.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah.
How often awesome. Is this the first long tour like that you've done? You guys have toured before.
Fifth or sixth.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We did it,
how long?
We did it 3.5 years, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last time we did it was 2016.
Okay.
We were doing it like twice a year for a while, just kind of like a regular, every 6 months after the last album.
Yeah.
Just a few years of doing that.
How did you build crowds in those cities and stuff?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like,
hopefully.
Some in like surprising ways where it was like, yeah, where we didn't expect it to like hit.
Like where?
And I don't know. I guess like Oklahoma in general kind of more than we expected. And then like some of Ohio as well, where it's just like, we'd start to see like record orders for like, you know, backlog kind of stuff.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And you can see on your Spotify thing where people are listening too.
Which is really cool. He was actually showing me that the other day. I'd never seen that because we had like China or somewhere. We had some weird.
Yeah. There were a couple of weird spots. There was like Indonesia.
Some friends told some other friends, hey, I found this American band.
The beauty of the internet.
I know.
It's probably the algorithm.
I mean, there's a guy in Japan after the last album that like owns a record store and was like, yeah, I want to put out like a cassette of you guys.
We're shout like, out to Dream on Records.
yeah. And we're like, I don't know how you found out about us, but that would be super cool.
They in the 90s, I know they did really support kind of like this like garage pop scene. Like there was a whole thing going on over there.
Yeah,
it's
feel like it's still going.
Yeah, the dream to get over there eventually.
Yeah,
we have a friend who has gone over with her boyfriend's band and like tour managed and booked it all and stuff. And we're like, hopefully, and she's offered that we got to work out details.
Probably
and everything,
do an in store for that cassette release.
It'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to go to Japan too. It would be a dream come true.
Be awesome. Weird Weather is the name of your new record. It's absolutely fantastic. And let me say this: you guys got a little tougher. Got a little tougher.
A little chunkier.
Switch it up
a little chunkier.
Bit. Yeah.
That's kind of the feeling behind the name, I think, is that we're like, this is a weird one. It's not usually like us, but...
Yeah.
Weird what did that? Did that come from, like, touring, or...
It's been a couple years since the last record, and touring, we would just kind of toss new ones in
things
there.
A little harder is what it feels like. Like, you're just...
Especially when we play them live, like, even the old songs on Three Waves and a Shake, when we play them live, they're way more energetic and way more rock, so this was kind of like, well, we're just writing in the style of how we play live more.
Yeah.
I always used to, like, when people would, like... when I would show the band to people, I'd be like, it's like a really like slick like pop album, but like if you see this live, it's like really loud and like a lot faster. And I feel like this album is like, we wrote songs that sound like they sound live.
Yeah. And you don't have to say that. No.
I'm just like, go listen to it and
much more honest record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So So you guys have a van?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a 1999 conversion van.
Fuck yeah,
got a VHS player in there, two cassette decks.
What?
Yep. Yeah, count like in the back two? Seat, there's like a cassette deck on the side of like,
random one.
Thing. Yeah, it's really
got
strange.
Got some weird lights on the ceiling with a mirror.
It's a switch don't know that what says for, mood but, lighting.
Dude, you guys are doing it for real, man. Yeah.
Also, her name is Susan B. Vanthony.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's a good name. Yeah.
We'll, we were a little paranoid, as I'm sure you've heard of all the people, you know, getting their stuff stolen on tour. Yeah. So we took out the back booth of it and put in a giant wooden
cage.
Box.
Oh, yeah. Wooden box.
Yeah. That, like, he built himself.
I in a band, we got broken into in New York City.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
What that's part?
Not in our trailer, but in our van. So, like, people's...
Like, special clothing windows. And computers
I
or whatever.
I can't remember.
We did like gaff tape on the back windows, so like if they hit them, it's just like,
just like
man,
guys just a little paranoid, you know. You gotta be safe. It's
you gotta be careful.
A lot of money invested in all that gear and a lot of stuff that's irreplaceable.
We're too poor to lose. You know?
Yeah. How? So this is going to be your fifth tour out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been obviously been going well as it goes. What about Austin? Have you guys been playing in town a lot, or do you play much here?
Less. We've been playing here less.
Okay.
I don't know. Stuff has been changing just around town. Feels like playing here too much these days is, I don't know.
Not good.
Yeah. Not great.
No.
We did like a long stint where we were sort of playing whatever paid the most, which tended to be bills where we headlined, which means you go on at 1 a.m. Like
deadlined.
Like yeah. Friends would be like, "Oh, that's awesome! You guys are like headlining a bunch of stuff." And I'm like, "No, it's like the hardest. It's not glamorous. We play to the least people, but
and
we're there
to
keep people at the show so we can get a bigger cut of the payout. So because we're trying to pay for an album, and then as soon as we got the album done, it's like, cool. Now we can go back to like playing like better slots and like being pickier about stuff.
Yeah,
because 11 is really the good spot.
Yeah, 11's
you know
perfect.
That's the spot everybody wants to play.
Yeah,
and I feel like you have the biggest crowd concentration, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I'm a fan of happy hours.
Yeah.
So where'd you record this record, Weird Weather?
We recorded it with Stuart Sykes. He has a little studio attached to a storage space on like 5th and Tillery.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have a name.
Yeah. Some people call it Stu Studio.
Okay, that's a good name.
Yeah. He didn't like it very much. Oh, <didn't>?
Those some people are us. Some people.
Yeah. Those it's like when Donald Trump says that.
Yeah. Yeah. So people have been saying.
People have been saying, yeah.
It's like, are you sure you're
people
this
have been
not saying
it's
you
the
saying
greatest
that?
Studio?
Yeah, it's the greatest studio. I mean, it is great. He like had moved in like right before we started. We're like, what are you going to call it? And he's like, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to name it. And we're like, you got to name it. And he's like, no, I don't.
It was formerly, what was it before?
It was Big Orange in another location, and he moved with the guy who he kind of co-ran Big Orange with.
Right.
And I just don't think it really stuck because the guy he co-ran it with was Matt Oliver, Julie Oliver's husband. And then they ran for Congress.
Oh.
And got like super involved with that. So Matt wasn't working there a lot. So it didn't really make sense as Big Orange because Stuart was just working there full time.
Right.
So.
What about Stuart Studios?
Ooh. See, this is good.
Rolls Stuart. Off the
We got to start pitching these to him.
He should start like an online poll.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't see him doing that.
Yeah. I think he's just, rolling with unnamed because he doesn't like any popular opinion.
Yeah. Did he produce the album? Or how would you?
I don't think really anybody produced it.
We didn't have like a formal producer role. Like there's an engineer and a producer.
Yeah, right. If we ever asked him like what he thought of a take, he'd be like, what did you think?
Yeah.
So it was pretty much just like, you know,
it was like
we performed up until we felt like asking him that question, he would maybe have a little bit more twinkle in his eye. Like he actually knew the answer.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
It was cool. It was a really good environment to like be so closely working with him. Where like even on days where one person's just tracking, it's like all of us in the room and we'd like talk about the takes and do everything and kind of bounce ideas off of him and everything, which was awesome.
Yeah. Do you guys do a publicist or anything for this album?
We did like a a little radio PR kind of thing, just for college radio.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
How does that, does that help out in a way?
We did it for the last record and it seemed to help a lot, but it was also a lot of money and we don't have it.
Do you find that it helps your touring and stuff?
I don't feel like it helped that much for touring as much as just like press.
Yeah. Like the last time we did an album, we put considerable money into PR and I feel like it helped with just like general awareness. Like blogs picked it up because blogs used to be a thing. Now it's Spotify playlists is the new thing.
Yeah.
Blogs it did. It helped with that. But then for tour, it wasn't as like direct as like, oh, people are coming out to shows because of the PR. It was more like, I feel like touring is like, when you said like, did we like form like crowds? I feel like for us, it's more like making friends with other bands. Yeah. So next time we go back, there's a band we've played with. They're like, oh yeah, we'll definitely like promote this show and play it with you. So it's more like we just get better relationships with bands.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you don't wait so long that all of the bands that you formed friendships with have broken up by the time you finish your next record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been doing this podcast so long that I've had people like on their like third incarnation of some kind of band they've been in a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It moves pretty fast.
It does. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
How long have you guys been a band?
I don't know. I talked to somebody earlier today and they were like, "We saw that you were a band since 2011 and it was like, "No.
That's wrong."
pretty much 2013, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that's like right around. I joined in 2013. So
yeah, that's pretty much how long. It was
maybe a year before ish or half a year or something like that.
Right. What was your band in high school, Will?
The Bubbles.
The Bubbles. That was a good band.
Thanks, man.
We did shows together.
Yeah, at Momo's.
Yeah, Momo's.
Yeah.
I used to, me and him, we were talking about the other day about how we used to do those Lamar Pedestrian Bridge shows. Did you ever go to any of those? It was mostly like high schoolers at the time. We were all in high school. So it was just like a sort of guerrilla setup where they had plugs for some reason on the bridge. And we just saw them one day. And we were like,
homeless people charging their phones.
Yeah. Which they like weird. Shut them off.
So they're back on.
They might, hey, we can maybe do another one. But they shut them off after we did enough shows. And one of the times we were like, shit, like all the bands are here. Like people are starting to show up and there's no power on the bridge. So we walked across the street to Taco Cabana that I don't think's there anymore.
Nah.
And we're like, hey, can we play on your patio? And so we had like indie bands and like a metal band and all these people playing on it. We did like a couple Taco Cabana shows.
It was pretty cool.
That is killer, dude.
It was very strange, but awesome.
I have a friend that does a comedy show like that in Los Angeles.
Oh,
a guy
that's
from here that moved there and he's just kind of like...
Hanging out at Del Taco?
No, he does like a, he sends out a thing where everyone's going to meet. Usually they meet at the same place. And then there's a bunch of comedians on the bill. And there are people like there's television producers are starting to go because it's underground and cool or whatever.
Cool.
But it's a scene. It's like an actual scene. And then they just walk and they'll stop, you know, to like a cool place with a light. And a guy will do some comedy for a few minutes. And then they'll keep walking and do some
more. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like a candlelight show kind of thing?
Something like that. Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so awesome, man.
Yeah, which was cool, too, because like, we did a lot of that and played together, and I even joined the Bubbles for a little bit in high school. Got in trouble for smoking weed with the parents, and they're like, all right, cool, you got to move
schools.
Wait, you
got in trouble because you were smoking weed with your parents?
No, by my parents.
Okay.
Because I got drug tested in high school, so, you know. So I went to McCallum, so I like, and me and Will kind of drifted apart, and then... he hit me up randomly around 2013, I guess, in there, and was like, hey, do you know any guitarists who, like, want to play in Shivery Shakes? And I was like, well, my band just ended, so, yeah. Like, me.
And that was your band, what was your band?
At the time, it was, this was, like, in college age, sort of, around there, and it was Flat in the Village. It was, like, a weird jazz funk punk band that just played co-op shows only. It was a lot of fun. It was, like, a 10-person band. Sax and
keys. Can you make money at those co-op shows?
Hell no. Well, selling alcohol illegally, you can. So we made a production company.
When they're in like semester,
we're like, we'll just sell alcohol. Cool. Yeah, and like I think we, you know, we made some money. Yeah. But
I'm getting the vibe of who the bad boy in the band is.
They're just as bad. They're just not sane. Okay.
You know what? They're not as gleeful about it.
It was fun, you know?
Just yeah, trying to enjoy true, life. Yeah. Part of rock and roll, too, especially like when you're that age and you're like in the thing.
Yeah.
Like you're in, like you loading your stuff up on stage at a place.
Yeah.
That was 14 in that picture on the wall there. That's at someone's house, but I did start playing places later.
Is she wearing shutter shades?
Yeah, that's my mom back then.
Dang.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Your mom should sue Kanye.
Yeah.
She's like 20-something years ahead of her time in that photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, Kanye, like, she doesn't need to sue him because she passed away, but she could.
Oh, I'm sorry,
no. I realized that was going to be awkward. So,
no, that you're going to have to sue for her, you know.
Yeah.
No, not at all. He should give her the credit.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe get a tattoo. Do you guys listen to hip hop music?
Yeah.
Do you guys listen to music from now?
I do.
Yeah.
I've definitely been doing it less and less. Like emerging music. I need to get back into it.
So you a lot guys of good like stuff. There's too much almost.
Yeah.
Oh, you do? You like guys like the band Temples?
Yeah. They're cool. Awesome.
Their first record was
Did the new record come out? Because I was talking to y'all
they
about
have,
this
like,
kind
three
of
now.
Somebody what? Emailed me. Yeah, the second one's good too. I like.
I need to like check them out because that first one came out.
It reminds me of that would be a good band for you guys to tour with.
Oh yeah,
oh, man,
that'd be awesome.
Let me call that guy right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Me throw some locks.
Yeah,
yeah. Are they a long hair band? Yeah.
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 What about like Lizzo?
I love Lizzo. She's cool. Yeah.
You can't not love her, right?
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
What about Billie Eilish? I've been really into that album.
Marcus likes her a lot.
For like a like super top 40 thing, she's better. She's like refreshingly different than like when I heard. I was like, oh, this is the thing that's like big on the radio, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of weird. Like,
is she controversial right now?
I don't know if she's controversial. She's
no,
just
she's
sort of
just
like
very, very, very popular.
Yeah.
I guess you become controversial once you become popular just because people want to dislike you.
They have an opinion on you. But yeah, for like the thing that's like the big top 40 thing, I was like, this is actually like professionally weird. It was
right.
Like,
yeah, I mean, I think you named the two of like the top 40 sort of artists, and I don't know if Lizzo fully counts yet, but I would say so.
She
I mean,
does.
She's getting like she play constantly.
Yeah, but you know what happened was both of those guys, like I think Billie Eilish is playing like in the afternoon or some shit, and Lizzo is playing in like the Tito's tent or something, like in a
weird spot.
Because it was like because when they booked it,
she wasn't.
That was the stage she would have been on.
Mm-hmm.
But
this year,
they both have exploded.
Yeah, she
so
like got
much.
A smaller stage.
Whoa. Yeah, over like the last 9 months.
That it was already planned, and they were like, "Oh shit!"
Like, sorry, sorry, guys.
Yeah,
but like,
do you hear she has a vodka now? She has Absolute Juice, so she can blame it on the Absolute Juice.
What is it like? A flavored infused or oh yeah? I don't like those things.
No, they're not very good.
I'm gonna try it.
I mean, that's money.
I'm just saying, I like sweet.
Well, that's like a benchmark when you have a vodka.
Yeah,
you've made it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Hopefully someday you guys will have a Shivery Shakes vodka.
Be great,
and it'll be like a shake flavor. It'll be shake flavor.
Yeah, you're into vodka. Yeah, it would have to be. It would have to be whiskey. You can't do vodka; it gives him a headache immediately.
Yeah,
I thought you said you were going to make a whiskey flavored vodka.
Whiskey flavored vodka.
Yeah, why not? Whatever.
It's called Bitchin' Rare.
Isn't it like the barrel that you age it in that makes the big difference?
Okay, just like vodka aged in a whiskey barrel.
Yeah,
that has to have been done.
That sounds like
nobody steal that idea.
Sounds like,
okay,
the opening line of like a new country song.
Vodka raised in a whiskey barrel.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories there.
Yeah.
So were you guys raised here? You went to high school. Were you and you started in music early? Were you Marcus?
No, I moved here as an adult. I kind of grew up all over. I came here in like 2010, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
What brought you here?
Music. I wanted to play music, and I read that Austin was cool for that, so I drove here without knowing anybody. Just checked into a hotel, and yeah.
What hotel?
It's like a Residence Inn on North, on like on Burnett.
And you just checked in and just
I checked
like
in. And I was like, I got a week for like 1 week's like stay here, and then I got to find a place to live. And I moved into this like really insane house in Cherrywood. I came here and somebody I went to college with was like, you don't know this girl, but just call her. She is cool. And I just called her and I was like, hey, you don't know me, but I just moved to Austin. She was like, cool, want to come to Hole in the Wall? And I was like, okay. And I went there and they're like, cool, so do you like want to hang out with us now? And I was like, yeah, okay. And I like hung out with them for like 3 months and they introduced me to like
Who was that?
Her name's Chloe Salvestad.
Okay, I haven't met her, but...
But yeah, and she, I mean, she's cool. She like knows people in bands and stuff and she just like introduced me to... She's like, hey, Marcus plays drums. People are like, I mean, we need a drummer. And I just met... people.
It's a valuable position
like
to be in.
That's almost like a, that's almost like I had Marcia Ball in here. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
It's like this legendary blues pianist. She's 70 years old. That's her same story when she came here. I'm not joking. Like, she was just here. She does that same, like, she, her car broke down. She was going to San Francisco from Baton Rouge to...
Got sidetracked.
To do, or, their car broke down here, and they knew somebody from Baton Rouge, and they're like, hey, man, you know, the other guys that live here are gone. You guys are welcome to live here. It's like, wild. Sure, man. All right. Hey, man, you know what? You play piano. I got some friends that have a band. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. It was a, it's a very, like, Austin
Very Austin. It's almost like a scene out of Slacker. Like, yeah, even the dialogue was. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, cool.
Cool, whatever. You so want to, like, hang out? Like, should, they were like, I think that what they said was, should we, like, text you and stuff? And I was like, if that's cool. And they just, like, texted me every weekend. And then they were like, cool. So my roommate works at a coffee shop. This guy, he's in a band, and they need a drummer. So I, like, joined that band. And then, like... we like played with the Bubbles, which I didn't even know. Like, I joined Shivery Shakes and I thought, I was like, no, I met Will like a year ago. And then Facebook was like, 10 years ago today, it's like, you played this show with International Waters and it was the Bubbles EP release. And I was like, oh, I guess I have known Will for longer. I don't know. I just like moved here and knew everybody within like a week.
Yeah.
It's a small Our bands played big a, city.
Yeah.
Pinkerton tribute night. And at, we didn't
Clementine's?
Meet. Yeah.
What's Clementine's? Is that still... It used to, is that Italian? No.
No, it's Thunderbird now. On Manor.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be Clementine's before that, and they had... Yeah, they had, like, a Weezer Hoot Night.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It was
did,
cool.
My band did a lounge version of El Scorcho that nobody liked.
I mean, it sounds cool. It sounds cool to me. I wish I had been there.
I did it, one of those things last night, the John Lennon thing.
Oh, nice.
This John Lennon thing with, like, a band, and you go up there and sing. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What song did you do?
310, I did Revolution.
Cool.
It's a goodie.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah? Why so?
Well, these are guys that I've known, some of them I've known since I was, like, 15. They're older than me. And they've been, like, my guides and, like, all this stuff, and I love them. There was no rehearsal, like... Mm-hmm. I actually texted the dude, Stephen Doster, and I was like, on Friday, I was like, hey, my name's on that thing. Am I? He's like, yeah, man. And I was like, what song am I doing? He's like, Revolution.
I'm just like, that sounds good.
Okay. So I just went up and we did it. And but I didn't see them before the show or after the show.
It was like just when you got on stage.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. And the weird thing is I haven't seen him since last year. Where I saw them before the show, but then we did this. You know what I mean? Like, I've just seen them in that scenario now for like the last
like
10 years or
something.
Like, just
at the show itself.
Yeah.
It's kind of awesome.
That's
though.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
That's like.
So pro, just pack up.
Yeah.
And leave.
Well, I didn't have anything. I just walked up and sang.
No, but probably them too.
No, they brought instruments.
Are they like
having,
the like
giving
backing
away.
Sort of band and like they'll swap people
it's,
out?
Yeah. It's like the Christopher Cross band, like from the Christopher Cross. And this guy, Stephen Doster. Like That's three awesome. Of those guys and this keyboard guy. There's guys, I've been doing it since 1993. I've never spoken to the string section, ever. Ever. I noticed last night, I even said it when I got on stage. I was like, there they go again. And I've still never met them. I mean, seriously, like, that's a real thing I just said.
Yeah. That's wild.
They're still pissed off from 94, dude.
Yeah.
They've never done a song with
me. I'm just kidding.
I don't think I've ever done a song with them. No. In fact, when I met one of the trumpet players last night, and I was like, were you playing with them before? He's like, yeah, you always come into rehearsal and do your song, and then you look over at us and go like, guys doing good? Like, yeah, I'm like, see you later. I don't have time to get involved with the whole horn section right now. Right. Got a lot of problems. Do you guys do any Hoot Nights? Do you guys do any covers in your set? What do you?
Not really. Sometimes we like to pepper in one or two.
Mm. Yeah, we're like doing... per tour, we would pick like one or two, and that tour we have one cover.
We were doing Runaway for a while.
Del Shannon.
Yeah, the Del Shannon song.
We've done a couple of like more hardcore Hoot Nighty things where like there was like a New Year's Eve show where we did a whole Squeeze set.
Oh yeah,
it was
yeah,
super
that was
fun.
A lot of
it was
fun.
At Vegas, and I like could barely get on stage to play because it was that packed. Yeah, because like, we had the slot that was like a late 11:30 or something or 11:45, so we were playing like right up to midnight. So it was insane, but it was a great time. And those songs are hard.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, no, it's just like pop song. Like, it's fine. And then you learn the guitar part.
It's almost XTC, which is like, in our world of music, the rush of like our music.
Yeah.
So that would, that would make Squeeze the dream theater of our music.
Less Rundgren-y.
I just saw him at Emo's.
Oh, yeah?
Todd Rundgren?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I did not know he was on tour.
The drummer, yep, he just toured, but he's on tour right now with Christopher Cross.
Oh, weird.
Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, Joey Mullen from Badfinger, Joey Sheff, the dude that's been the bass player and singer for Chicago for like 30 years. You know what I'm talking about?
Curly-haired guy.
And the drummer from Skyrocket, the band I'm in, Darren, is the drummer of it, and they're celebrating 50 years of the Beatles' White Album.
Wow.
And so it's like all of them playing that.
Yeah, and then they all do two of their hits. Mm-hmm. So he gets to play like fucking Hello, It's Me with Todd Rundgren and I Saw the Light.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then
we were talking about a possible cover of that song.
That's a great song, so man. Yeah.
Is Joey Mallon the bassist?
Guitar player?
Okay. He wasn't like the last living one when
he is.
Oh yeah,
right.
Dang.
What happened to the drummer? Maybe the drummer died.
Yeah,
it's
I think
not
so.
The drummer.
Okay, yeah.
He's a guitar player. He's actually friends with remember David Cotton who used to book Momos.
Yeah, yeah.
He got my band Mr. Rockababy to open for them, for Joey Mullen, it was Joey Mullen's Badfinger, and
gotcha.
I think they were pals because I think in the 80s it's kind of pretty well known in the like comedy world and rock world that David Cotton was your go-to guy if you needed to stay up all night. And I bet they became bros in the 80s when Joey Mullen was touring and probably still
keeping people up all night.
Great in jokes. That party zone, man. Yeah. Anyway, so what Squeeze songs did you?
We did Another Nail in the Heart.
Pulling Muscles from
Cool
the Shell.
For Cats.
Yes.
Tempted.
Up the Jump.
We had to
up
do Tempted.
Yeah. Up the Junction. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I think that was it. Like
Tempted's real hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
And we had... who played keys with us again? We had to have somebody come play keys because we're like, well,
Ryan
we need
McGill.
Two. Yeah, Ryan McGill
yeah.
came in and played keys.
He used
keys.
To have a band here called Little Low.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Helped us out.
But yeah, because that song is kind of weird.
Yeah,
you know.
Although, how did Cool for Cats go? We tried that in Skyrocket, but it's too we're too
it's
much
weird.
Of a cover
a
band to
words.
Do that.
Yeah, it's a
you
lot
know what
of
I mean?
Words, and also sense. Like there's weird percussion and like weird sounds going on. We
really
just kind of
weird,
modified it
mm-hmm.
and like shortened yeah. that bridge a little bit. And just you know,
lots of Jules Holland just like banging
yeah, yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Down, 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 down.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. I saw them with him. In
oh,
the
yeah?
80s here at...
when he, like, rejoined?
I guess. I don't know how all that worked. It was him and then Paul Carrick and then him?
It was, like, him and then he left. And then for the record they did with Paul Carrick, he rejoined for the recording and then quit again.
Okay.
It was weird.
And then he toured with them. It was 1985.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that you did? Did you ever do...
did that Strokes cover set.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah?
It was like a just for fun kind of thing last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We just learned all of Room on Fire top to bottom and didn't announce that we were going to do it and just did it for two shows. It was just like
it was
goofy.
Super fun. Also kind of hard songs. Yeah. Those guitar parts like where you're like, yeah, I mean, that solo sounds like kind of hard. And you're like, try to learn. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's...
Some stuff is hard.
Yeah.
yeah.
And just
good exercise.
Yeah, great exercise, and also their songwriting chops of just the way all those parts work together is insane. Like,
yeah,
we did like one practice I think where we like the bassist wasn't there or something. We were just like,
it was rough.
Nope, this is not gonna work. We gotta like wait till like he comes back. Like,
yeah,
very interdependent arrangements.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's just kind of on their own. There's no like strumming guy.
Yeah,
in the strokes.
It's like every single note. Like,
yeah, every single note makes the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you mind if I grab more water?
No, not at all. It's in the fridge.
Thanks, Steve.
You ever have you guys fans of Hunter S. Thompson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he would do this thing, and he claims this is the way he learned how to write, was he just would copy, like, Moby Dick, word for word.
Really?
Yeah, just, like, do cover books.
Just to, like, feel, like, basically, feel like he had like written to... it or something?
I don't know, man.
But I mean, I'm sure he had a lot of drugs to help influence.
Yeah. No. This was, like, when he was a kid and stuff. Like,
oh, that's, like, that's very, how very he, early it, on.
Maybe his, you know, late teens, early 20s, he would just sit there and, like, copy the great books.
Yeah,
you
I mean
do that in like in like painting, like people will like do copies.
That's
of
true.
Famous paintings,
yeah. And I mean music too. I taught myself to play guitar, learning Green Day and covers and Blink 182 covers.
You know, my friend with that traveling comedy show thing, mm-hmm. he calls that music tattletale rock.
I love that.
When I first heard him say it, I was like, "What is that?" And he goes, "He was like, you know." It's like, yeah, 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 yeah. Now I'm telling mom.
In the tone of voice.
Very accurate.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 12, though, I guess you're maybe a little bit of a dattletale in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I was already, I think, too old for those bands. So what do you listen to that you say you're not listening to a lot of new stuff?
I've just gotten into, like, weird, like, ambient music.
Oh, wow.
A lot of, like, Japanese stuff. Like percussive music. I don't know. Just gone down like a weird rabbit hole on YouTube, really. People upload all these albums to YouTube that are not like on Spotify.
So you're like in the underground.
I took a really weird turn like 2 years ago. I'm like, I guess I should go listen to like guitar music again.
Does that influence what you do?
I don't think so. I feel like if I like sit down to write music, it's still like influenced by like guitar bands and like indie stuff. I don't know.
Would you think it would creep in the recording part?
Maybe. Been like interested in like synthesizers recently, stuff. Like getting into like modular synth stuff. So that's probably an offshoot of listening to weird minimalist stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of like what Will said. Like, there's like almost too much good new stuff that I feel like exhausted by it.
Yeah.
I'm just on that Discover Weekly train. That's like
Spotify?
That's where I get all my new stuff. I'm like, hell yeah, this is cool. Yeah. I just basically
Jack
will like
Milk's
heart
corporate
like ones I like, and then build a giant like 300 song playlist over the course of 2 years of using it.
That's a good idea.
So that's like what my library is on there, which is cool. And then from there, I'll go listen to the full album and find some related bands and stuff.
I mean, I also feel like it's kind of like...
But it is a little bit of an echo chamber.
Yeah. I made the comment that, like, you know, blogs, quote-unquote, like, used to be a thing. Like, I feel like the last time we promoted an album, it was like, you got to get on, like, Stereo Gum or, like, Consequence of Sound.
What was the one here? Austinist? Was that
Austinist?
One? No.
And there was...
It was one...
Gorilla vs. Bear was a big Texas...
Oh, yeah.
One. Yeah. And it
that
was like...
That one was, like, lasted, like, a fucking month or something.
Gorilla vs. Bear?
It was around for...
Yeah, they got, like, acquired by some, like, media conglomerate.
Right.
Like, you know, I would, like, email them every time any band...
It's kind of like Pitchfork and Condé Nast or whatever.
Yeah, they like, took off the... There was no, like, contact us thing. It was like, you can't contact us. We take orders from above, not... We don't actually, like, sample
stuff anymore. We're not on the street anymore.
That's kind of why it's not... Tying that back to what we were talking about earlier, it's why you can't pay PR anymore.
Yeah.
It's just everything's gotten acquired.
Yeah.
So you got to spend, like... Bucos Dolores, if you really want to get write-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
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 But I kind of feel like that's why I've kind of fallen off on, like, new music, is that music blogs were my preferred method of finding stuff, because you could find a blog where you're like, oh, I like this person's, like, sense, like, writing style,
right.
Their sense of humor, and I trust what they're going to recommend to me.
Yeah, I had one.
And so it was, like, more, like...
It was all about...
Yeah, like, it was, like, you could curate your own
personal,
like,
connection to
with
it.
Now it's like, well, what is Spotify going to put on my algorithmically generated thing? And
it's like,
well,
cool, I heard half those last week.
Exactly.
Or
weeks
before.
It's still going to tell me to listen to Kiss Alive too. I'm not joking.
It will. It's going to put one of those songs on there every week.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't. What about you, Will? What do you?
Spotify guy. Kinda a blend of things. Yeah, I kind of veer into some of the stuff Marcus is talking about, and I also dabble in Discover Weekly, even though I give jack shit about it. And man, I've been like just a big politics junkie recently, which is probably not good for mental health. Yeah. But
no, it's not. He listens it's very to
like bad. Of anybody I know, he listens to the most like podcasts, news every day, reads yeah, like, New York Times, everything.
It's tiring. Especially right
but
now.
I get updated, so I get like the you're the shield wall, and yeah. I just get like little good. Bits coming over, and yeah. you filter it to me. So because we live together, so it's what, like cool. I can just get the update from Will.
What's going on?
Shit's fucked, dude. Especially in the last 2 days. I don't know
what happened in the last 2 days. What am I? The Turkey Syria thing.
Yeah, kind of. We had like a legitimate buildup for impeachment inquiry. Finally got Pelosi on board. Things were looking like all green lights go. And then, like, they just, you know, pulled the wool over our eyes. And
like, here's now, the next thing to look at. Like,
oh, man.
Have, like, the Turkey thing happening. And it's like, oh, that cool. Like, that's the news now. The news cycle. Yeah, instead of, like, focusing. Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah, and they, like, issued a letter saying they weren't going to, like, deal with any subpoenas or answer to any of it.
Which is not so, great. Yeah. Like, are you allowed to do that? Probably. You know,
they yeah, they're just claiming the executive privilege on everything. So,
you know, we're just got fingers crossed. We'll see what happens.
Have you guys ever like, checked out those rings that Giuliani's wearing?
I haven't. Yeah. Does he have weird...
Cool, like a cult shit going on?
Yeah, everybody right now, don't stop listening to this podcast, but if you have access to Google, get some close-ups. Yeah, it's weird. It's like...
What does he got going on?
There's no way he's not a mobster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just the ring level. His ring
but
game.
But I thought he locked them all up. Like,
dude, come on. Look at that guy. He's a weirdo. Yeah.
No, he's a super weirdo. Heard he drinks a lot of scotch before he gets on Fox News.
Do you?
I believe it.
Doesn't seem like it. But he does seem to take some kind of weird truth serum.
Yeah, what yeah. are these rings?
Look at
they're
that
like
shit.
Bigger than
joking.
Like a like Super Bowl ring.
It's like I don't know what he's trying to tell the public with yeah. those rings, but like
giant.
I know people that will
and
cut your head
not,
off.
Those are not wedding bands.
That's really weird.
That's strange.
Maybe it's all of his wedding bands put into one ring. Yeah.
like I get them
look at that.
Down.
That's crazy.
I know. It's
and he's
I
got spread, one on the other hand on his pinky.
See, that's also, what happens to me is I lose the message.
And you start looking at rings.
Yeah, and that's the thing that like I take away from something. They're like, "Oh, did you see this guy talk? You hear what he said?" I'm like, "No, but did you see his rings? Because that was fucking
also
weird.
The pinky ring."
Yeah,
I think if you have a single pinky ring on one hand, that's like the most mobster thing ever.
Yeah,
or right? just or creepy. I don't know just which.
Something weird.
And it's pretty ornate. It's not like just mm-hmm. a little thing there.
Yeah. It's for building 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh man,
that's crazy.
I tried.
So are you in a conspiracy situation?
No.
Okay, you're not like an yeah, Alex Jones
pretty,
guy or something.
He's
like
very
that.
I would say you're very anti-conspiracy in general besides
yeah.
the few
yeah.
that might be real.
But our conspiracy people don't they think they're not doing conspiracies they
that's
think
right,
they're just
they only listen
the
to
truth.
The truth tellers.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
what a fucked up world we live yeah. in. Yeah. So, all right. So you're gonna go do this tour. What happens when you get back? The holidays.
Halloween. Everybody buys a Shivery Shakes record for Christmas, and then we go to Hawaii.
That's nice. Are you guys putting this? Are you putting out this business on vinyl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We actually chose to do just vinyl.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's yeah. or you know download code.
Okay.
But no like CDs or anything.
Yeah. We listen to a lot of vinyl, so we're like, everybody else should too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the hot pink vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh man, I meant to bring one. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Like, dude, you got a lot going on.
We'll yeah. drone one over.
Yeah.
That's a thing now, right? You can hire a drone. I don't
Send
know.
An Amazon drone.
I don't know. The government's got it. You got to learn from the government. All right. So you're gonna get back and like chill out a bit.
Yeah, for a little bit. And I know we were talking about doing maybe another tour in February, March, somewhere around there, getting another one going.
Get back in the old yeah. tour hang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. You don't want to go like in the summer when it's hot and the AC
dead
demand
in all
doesn't
the
work very
cool
well.
College towns.
But you also don't want to go in the winter. You don't want to go to like New
heat.
York in
yeah.
like in February, that's not a fun time. So no, sort do of like you, fall and spring.
When you're not on full on tour, do you guys do like regional shows and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We actually just started picking up a little more on that.
Mm-hmm. We did like a 3-show Texas thing, like a couple this months summer, ago.
Houston, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dallas, and San Antonio.
Cool. Where'd you play in those cities?
We did Axelrad Beer Garden in Houston. Okay. That was kind of a cool spot.
It's giant.
It's a newer spot. It's very Austin-like.
They have like 100 love hammocks it or hate it. To land.
And then Hammock San Antonio, Garden. We played on North St. Mary's. It wasn't Limelight, but it was really close to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are like a bunch that of area. New
spots. Yeah.
Right on.
And then did we play Double Wide too in Dallas?
I love Double Wide.
Yeah.
That's where we're playing on Friday.
Yeah. When we go up good. To
Dallas. Yeah.
Good.
It's a cool this spot. Won't be up
by the time we play it because it's tomorrow.
Well, you guys need to let me know if they still have the Kenny Loggins.
What is that?
The Keep the Fire? Or?
No, the drink.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It's the Highway to the Danger Zone. It is triple vodka infused, or triple espresso vodka and Yoo-Hoo.
Does it make you dance if it loose?
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty intense. And it has this milkshake quality that kind of like gets you because you'll have like 3 or 4 of them and then you're like, whoa.
If they have it, I'm going to get it. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Try it.
That sounds great. I love Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah. Good.
And and alcohol. So, and coffee. So three favorite things. Yeah.
Chocolate
know?
Drink. It means that the milk won't curdle or anything because there's no milk in it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I really miss Chocolate Soldier, which was like a Yoo-Hoo ripoff back in the day. My first like indie rock band I played
exactly
in.
What you're talking
and
about.
And it was like carbonated chocolate milk. And I know that sounds weird as fuck. It was like a chocolate really soda.
So it's
it was awesome. It was like our band drink. We all like loved it. And like we were in high school, so the drummer's mom where we practiced would always buy a case that we'd drink. It's very sweet of her. Bruce Lott's mom.
Oh, nice.
Would always get it for us.
You guys all work. You have jobs. What kind of work are you in?
Doing service, Jack? Bartending.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you programmer.
Okay.
Audio engineer. Just do like live sound and events.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
For who?
A few different people. Rock and Roll Rentals.
Nice.
Yeah, we like started an event production arm of the business.
That's great.
Yeah. Then like a few other little groups.
I saw Emily Wolf there. A while back. She's
used to play with her.
You did?
Yeah.
I played guitar.
Yeah, like me and Jeff Holson and Sam Pankey all play with her, two of my good buddies. But she seems like she's popping off now.
She's really amazing, man.
Yeah. She's getting a signature Epiphone.
Yeah, they're picking it up in Rock and Roll Rentals. Like, it's going to be able to be rented. Because she works there.
Yeah. What a weird world we live in.
Yeah. Small. That's what I was saying. It's a small, big city.
Yeah, but also, like, the business. Like, you'd think that someone has a fucking signature guitar.
I know,
they
right?
They wouldn't work in a guitar job? Store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is somebody's going to be
well, the crazy
like...
thing, we were just talking about Albert Hammond Jr. just got his signature guitar. It's, like, way varying levels of stuff. I don't know. It's very strange. I don't know how they make decisions, but props, you know?
Yeah.
That's tight.
Hell yeah, man. Britt Daniel just got a...
Did he?
Signature
you
Telecaster.
See what that thing cost, dude?
No.
2 fucking G's, man.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the Telecaster?
It's just like a Tele Thin Line. I think they make it here, so that's it's cool. USA. But
and it's probably got 2
I thought you meant they make
upgraded.
It here in Austin.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, we got a Fender factory. Yeah. I'm going to go.
Yeah. I'll do free ads for them if they let me borrow guitars.
Right.
Is there anything I'm missing, dudes?
Nah, dude. Thanks for having us.
Dude,
how are you feeling about
the
Austin music scene right now? Just curious.
I think it's great.
Awesome.
I've been working with the Austin Music Foundation for the last few years.
Heard a lot of good stuff about them recently. I have a friend who's volunteering with them.
Yeah.
Ashley Miller. Well, shorter redheaded girl with like curly hair. I don't know. Keep an eye out for her. wavy hair.
Excuse me.
She's very new to Austin, so she just started doing it, but she plays in a band and stuff. And so,
she does?
Yeah, and so she's just trying to, like,
talk to people and everything. She doesn't work in the office.
No, just doing volunteer on gigs and that kind of stuff. But sometimes she's talked really highly of them.
Yeah. It's a very good organization. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. I don't ask with any expectation. You just get to... I was looking down the list of people you interviewed recently and was like, man, I bet Johnny Gowdy has a much better sense of this
than
we probably do. We're kind of insulated from it.
Yeah. And, you know, I saw this... I saw a I had Marsha Ball in here today, and I did that show last night with those guys that kind of like helped bring me up in this music scene. And I was doing the intro to the thing, and I think it is healthier than ever, that sort of like the world that we live in. There's not industry here, so there's not a lot of competition, but you get your shit together to go face the industry, and you have like friends, and you guys are doing the right thing by building that community outward, where there's, well, now probably since all these bands have broken up and they've started bands, you probably like multiplied, but
yeah.
We're like cancer.
Well, I was going to say
that's the tagline for the next album. So anyway, infectious you can't get rid of it.
I feel like that aspect of the scene is very, very healthy. Although I do feel like there is a segregated... if you don't have like a guitar or some kind of traditional kind of band, if you're doing things that are a little bit different, like we'll see somebody like Lizzo do and we'll accept it on the national level... Those guys are all relegated, hip-hop, the pop guys. They're all relegated to, like, these places that you don't know. Or they have to get in these rock clubs that don't know how to do what they do. I kind of wish that the shows, that there were more shows that reflected kind of what the lineup stylistically is like at ACL.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Where it's like all over the place.
A pop person, a hip hop person, a rock band, an Americana band.
Especially in
Austin.
I do
like a lot of the KUTX. I'm sorry, Jack.
No, you're good. Keep going.
A lot of the KUTX event production stuff, and that's like the large majority of it now. So I'm like, oh man, the sampler killed the guitar. But like, you're right. You don't see that at local venues a lot. So that's interesting that there's like kind of this inverse of it.
Yeah. Well, in the 80s kind of mainstream culture, outside of like the hair bands, the guitar did kind of take a back seat to like drums and, you know,
synths.
But they come back. I mean, but you need to kind of like allow things to change.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the only thing about it that I feel like, I don't feel like everyone's together yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Anyway, everyone get out there and check out this album, Weird Weather. You can get it. They can order the vinyl from your website, shiveryshakes.band. If you do not have Three Waves and a Shake, I highly recommend it. Their 2015 album, amazing. Make more albums for me as a fan. I really do love your band.
Thank you so much, man.
And I'm glad that this worked out before you left on tour. Do you know where you're playing on Tuesday? Because that's the day that this comes out.
Tuesday night we'll be in Detroit at Deluxe Flux with Zilch and Primer.
Yeah, we got Michigan listeners. And
that's a really cool venue. So
yeah,
it is awesome. It's really like excited. All black lit.
You're in the Hamtramck.
Cool. Yeah,
Ann Arbor. What's up?
Yeah, man, you guys are going up there. You're getting moving out fast. Well, have a great show tonight. Have a great show, quote unquote, tonight in Detroit. And thanks again for doing the show. This album's beautiful. Get it. Weird Weather. Shivery Shakes. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, man. Just keep in mind.
One of my favorite bands around, that's Shivery Shakes, man. That was great talking to those guys, catching up with William, Marcus, and Jack, finding out what's going on. You can find them at shiveryshakes.band. Because tonight they're playing in Detroit. If you're listening to this and you're in the Detroit area, you do yourself a favor, man. Go see these guys. They're fantastic. Their new album, Weird Weather, is available now wherever you stream or download your jams. Also, their last album, Three Waves and a Shake, which I have loved since it came out, is available. And they will be on tour until the 27th of October doing the Midwest and the East Coast and the Southeast. Go to shiveryshakes.band for all of your Shivery Shakes needs. And gang, while you're out there checking out shiveryshakes.band and finding out where they're doing, you can always subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you find them. New show every Tuesday and every Friday. All right? Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing, gang. And enjoy the rest of this song from the new album, Weird Weather, by the great band, Shivery Shakes. Let's get down.